Got a lot going on here. It's beautiful today. Thank you, Lord. I want to wish all my mamas, whether you gave birth, whether you raised the ones that were given birth by someone else, happy Mother's Day. Because I'm telling you, our Father, He's a father to the fatherless. And that is a beautiful Christian thing to be, is to help those who need you. So happy Mother's Day to everyone. So let me open with prayer. We're going to get started with the word that God has given us today. Father, I thank you for this day, for this glorious day that I can be in the house of God, to stand here, to be a testament for you, to be a vessel used for your good. Now I surrender myself to you wholly, my mind and my thoughts and my words, everything that is in me, Lord, let it be just you that comes forth. Let the word come forth. According to your word, it says it won't come back void, and that is what we claim for that today. Open the hearts and minds of each and every person that hears this sermon, those that are here, those that are on the live, Lord, and let it grow and prosper and take root in their hearts. Let them stand to be the army of God they are called to be lights in a dark world. Father, I give you praise and glory for your presence that is already here today. Let everything that go forth be to glory and edify the name of Jesus. And we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. And always, enemy of ours, you are defeated. In Jesus' name, I claim this place from the top to the bottom, that the Holy Spirit reigns and your will be done. Amen. Amen. So today I want to give you what God has given me. A few weeks back, I kept hearing him say, I'm going to meet you where you are. I would pray for my brothers and sisters, and he'd tell me, I'm going to meet them where they are. And that's such a comforting thing when you understand that despite who you are and all your flaws, and when you look in the Word and you see the things that you need to bring up to another level, God says, I'm going to meet you there. And you're not going to go through it alone. I'm going to help you with this. And I'm standing before you today as a prime example. And I know there are many out here today that can say the same thing. But I want to encourage you, because we're in a strategic season in the church of God, not just this church, but just in the whole, because the enemy, his time is short, and he's pressing so hard, and he's pulling out all his tricks. And he wants to, first of all, get your identity. I heard a pastor one time say, if he can't get your soul, he's going to go after your purpose. And that is where he is. That's what he's doing right now. If he can't have your soul, he's going to steal your purpose. And he does that by causing us to demoralize ourselves. And that's where we're at right now. He's saying, you haven't seen the promise yet. Yes, I'm going to touch your body, I'm going to touch your family, I'm going to touch everything. But you haven't seen God work yet, have you, Sonia? And I have to stand flat-footed and say, his word is true. He's not a man that does not lie. He is God, and he is holy, and his timing will be my timing. And that's why God came to me one day, and he said, I'm going to meet you where you are. Because I look at myself and I don't see that I'm such a great person. Why would you even consider me? But he does. He does. I have been praying for years that God would have personal experiences. The Holy Spirit would have personal experience with certain groups in this earth realm and certain people, you know, to just overcome the evil that they have been caught up in. He told me too, he says, you know, I can do that and I will do those things, but I depend on you to do that. You are my representative. When you interact with people, do they see me in you? That's what I'm looking for. Yes, you're imperfect. Yes, you're going to make mistakes. I already understand that. He said, I'm going to meet you where you are and I'm going to take you to where you need to be. So that's what we're talking about. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Nothing can separate us from him. It says neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, not things present nor things to come, nor heights nor depths, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to understand that you are under attack. We are imperfect people, and the enemy will use that against you in a heartbeat. Any imperfection. But let me tell you something. When you pick up your Bible, you see imperfect people, save one. That was Jesus Christ. Ain't none of us going to be like him. We're going to strive for it till the day we die. We take our last breath. That's what we're called to do. Be ye holy as I am holy. That means each day I got to get up and choose to do what? Santana, you're no longer the daughter of the dark. You are a daughter of the light. And I want you to know that. So Jesus was above all. He gave us his name when he left. He gave us authority and power. He called the disciples out. Were they perfect people? Heck no. 3.5 years with Jesus Christ himself. And Peter and them still decide they're going fishing one day. Because Jesus' body was dead and gone. He had actually appeared to them twice. And they still went fishing. Are you in your life and you feel like you don't have any direction right now? Well, let me tell you something. Stay still. Stand still. And the last thing he told you to do until he tells you otherwise. Keep moving forward in that. A lady one time when she first came to this church, she looked at me one day. She didn't say it to my face. She sent it to me on a text. She said, "Why do you stay?" And I said, "Because this is where God called me to be. I don't stay for a man. I don't stay for a woman. I stay because God has not given me any other instruction to do this. And until he does, this is where I will be." So Jesus left and he called them. I want you to go to John 20. And let me tell you, God's doing a new thing because I can have all these notes. And the last two times I've been in the pulpit, he did what he wanted to do, which is okay. But I must have to have this as a pacifier. I ain't got to that point yet. In other words, the day may be we just step in the pulpit and the Holy Spirit does the thing. But and he does anyways, but more so than what we do without our crutches now. John 20, I love that. This is where they've gone fishing. And it says he come to them. And he's walking on the bank, and they're out there fishing, and they've not caught anything. And let me tell you, when he comes to you, when he meets you where he is, he comes with provision. He's not going to leave you where you're at. That's that holy, loving God that we know. The God that says, "I'm going to do the good." Remember I preached on the good? It's not going to always look like your good, but it's going to be the good. It's going to be what turns out the best. There's a lot of decision in my life. I made the wrong decisions, and I look back now, and I thought, ugh, if I had just made that other decision, if I had said no or said yes or whatever the situation was, and my husband and I, we were talking about that today. We just, you know, you don't know, but if you follow the lead of Holy Spirit, it's going to be the good, even though you don't see it right away. That's the other trick. That's where we're at. It's not happened yet. But it's coming. In the story of Naomi, he has a very good word, and I'll give that to you in a minute. I'm going to have to slow down and try to get all of it out. But disciples, John 20, he comes to them, and first thing he says, "Do you have any food?" He's walking on the shore. He has already made breakfast for them. But he's watching them out there, and they have nothing. And then he says, the children, of course, they say, "No, we don't have anything." He said, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat. And you will find some." If you read the story, they did. It's like 153 or something like that that they brought in. And this is the story where Peter jumps off the boat and runs to him. He's come to restore Peter in front of the disciples. And it's a beautiful thing because he's meeting Peter where he is. But Peter's not alone. There's other disciples with him. They got tired of waiting. They'd seen him twice. And he shows up. He says, "Bring what you've got, but come and eat breakfast." New King James Version. He shows up where you're at, child of God, sinner, in the mess, in the trial, in the tribulation, in the wilderness, in the desert, on the mountaintop. in the valley of the shadow of death, in the presence of your enemy, he shows up with provision. He's just not coming to comfort you. He will do that as well. But he's coming because you have purpose. And there's somewhere you need to go and you need to be. But you're going to have to come and have a little breakfast. And you know what? We have to eat the word every day, right? Some of us just read it and it just goes, woo. The Holy Spirit says, let me settle that right here. And those are the times when the enemy comes in and lets you know that you're not what you thought you were. He likes to pull out all the stops. But so they come and they have breakfast with him. And they didn't dare ask who he was because they knew. They knew it was the Lord. This was the third time that he had shown himself to them. So they sit and eat this meal, and he proceeds to restore Peter. So I love that. There's his own disciples, 3.5 years, watched him be crucified. Some of them from afar, most of them from afar. Had seen him twice. And if you look at, that's John 21. John 20 is where he shows up after the resurrection. And the door is shut, but they're assembled together because they fear the Jews. In the fear, he's going to show up. And Jesus came and he stood in the midst to him and he said, peace be with you. And he showed him his hands and his sides. And they were glad when they saw the Lord. But that was the first time he'd shown them. And the breakfast thing was the third time. So, you know, from there, from the first to the third time, they had gone totally different direction, hadn't they? One time they're hiding behind the door fearful because they know what has happened, what could happen to them. Their leader is gone. And the third time they're out there going back to what they used to do. And Jesus says, come here, I need to give you some direction. And he shows up with provision. Isn't that like it? He shows up at the worst time. The other example of meeting you where you are, of course, is Ruth and Naomi. I love that. I love that account in the book of Ruth. Naomi goes off, leaves Jerusalem because of famine, goes to a foreign land, leaves there, loses everything, her husband, her sons. She comes back. She's going back to Jerusalem because things are better supposedly there. And she has two daughter-in-laws, and one refuses to leave her. It says she clings to Naomi. She clings to Naomi. And she comes back a foreigner in this land. And Naomi comes back and she says, don't you even call me Naomi. You call me Mara because I am bitter. God has dealt bitterly with me. Sometimes we don't understand. But you know what? Out of the union of Ruth and Boaz came David's father, or grandfather, and then Jesse, and then David, and then eventually the lineage of Jesus. But Naomi come back with this attitude that she was bitter. You know, he even shows up when you're like that. Don't think that he won't. Because he will, and he comes with provision. Do you remember the story? Ruth begs her, let me go out and gather food. You know, they have the harvest of the barley and the wheat, and she can go, as a poor person, she can go legally and gather the gleam, what was left over. And she happens upon Boaz's field. Naomi didn't tell her to go there. No, but God was working it all out. So when she found favor there. Boaz, he protected her. And I love, let me read just what God showed me this yesterday. I've been reading it. And it's so beautiful. It sounds so much what our Savior has done for us, what God has done for us. Let me see if I can find it. Ruth chapter 2. He notices her and he asks who she is, and they tell her who she is. And he tells her this beautiful thing in Ruth 2, verses 8. He says, then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen to me, my daughter, will you not? How many of y'all had that conversation with God? He's like, I'll tell you, I'm going to tell you what to do. Are you listening? Some of us have been told to hush up. You're right. We like to go before him and start explaining things, don't we? And she says, and he tells her, he says, don't go to gleam another field. Are you in another field where you shouldn't be? No, nor go from here. He says, stay where you're at. I know you don't have anything. I know you have lost everything. And I know your mother-in-law is not helping you. As far as the issue goes, she's like depressed out of her mind in a bad state. He said, but stay in this field. He says, and stay close to my young women. Tell me. The first thing the enemy likes to do is separate you from people that can help you. Do not think isolation is the answer. It never is. Maybe for a brief moment, but let me tell you what. Get you around brothers and sisters in Christ that can pour into you, because that is God sending someone to help you. And I'm going to tell you, you may not like what they're going to say, but they're going to tell you, if they're good ones and biblically true, they're going to tell you the truth. And you can swallow that jagged pill or you can spit it out. But he's trying to meet you where you are. Don't turn a deaf ear. He said, let your eyes be on this field. Where do you put your eyes when things aren't going the way you want it to go? We usually look at the storm, don't we? Like the disciples in the boat. We always looking at the storm. They go down there and they wake him up. Master, don't you care that we're going to die? He wakes up. He gets up. He says, peace be still. And then he looks at him and said, where's your faith? This is my analogy, my words of that. Where's your faith? So let me tell you, keep your eyes on the right field. It says, I've commanded the young men not to touch you. Now let me tell you something about the enemy. He will send people that have harm for you. And they'll come looking like the prettiest or the most handsomest thing. And it will even look like a godsend. But let me tell you something. Get into the Spirit. Get into prayer with God. Discern the Spirit. God has given you Holy Spirit. One of his functions is to let you know what he hears and what he sees. He will let you know. There have been people that I have just seen, and God has told me what I'm dealing with. And I know how to handle that situation. He gives me that wisdom. I'm no special person. He's going to do the same for all of you all. He gave you vision through the Holy Spirit. He says, I've told them not to touch you. And, you know, and I don't know about any of y'all. Any of y'all been going through any battles? Yeah, I'm preaching to the right crowd. So have you seen the hand of God protecting you in those situations? I have. I've seen it in this church. I've seen it in my family. I've seen it in myself. Every Saturday that I have to preach on Sunday, it is a physical, spiritual battle that becomes a physical battle. It's hard-pressed to get me out of the house because I am physically feeling unwell. So don't think that he ain't coming for you. He's coming. And he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he works in that order. So you have power and authority in Christ Jesus to overcome it all. You are an overcomer. That's what God says. That's what the Bible says about his children. He left you power and authority to walk on serpents, scorpions, and all the power of the enemy. It didn't say some. It says all. All. He says, and when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young man at this field have drawn for you. So don't be going out trying to get drink somewhere else. And she bowed her head low to the ground. And she says, I have found favor in your eyes. How have I done it? Because I'm a foreigner. And let me tell you something. You, as a child of God, have favor. My husband was talking about the situation, a work situation that he had years ago. And he was talking about how well these people treated him and how much time they saved him and how much they were kind to him about things that needed to be done. And I looked at him and I said, the favor of God is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing when you start realizing that God has that favor on your life. Now, I'm not saying life ain't hard. I'm not saying that. But when you see God's favor, it's beautiful. And this is the part he told me, and I've read this before, and it always jumps up in my spirit. But Ruth 2 and 16, and he's telling the young men, he said, let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. That's the favor of God. Let it purposely be fallen so that she can gather it. And then he says, leave it that she may gleam and do not rebuke her. But he says this beautiful thing, let her gleam even among the sheaves and do not reproach her. Do you know what the sheave is? That's the whole stalk. The whole thing. He said, pull it out and leave it for her purposely. Leave it for her purposely. And it is just so great when you read that. He said, on purpose, leave that for her. And I like the one version. Let me see if I can find it. It says, and leave some of the hands full of purpose for her. Hands full of purpose. Do you know, many of you, under the sound of my voice, you have purpose. Not just one. You have hands full of purpose in your life. And the enemy right now is pressing hard, attacking your identity, attacking what God has promised you. And I'm here to tell you today, he is going to meet you. God is going to meet you where you are. Don't look at your shortcomings and be concerned. Do as God tells you to do. Live as God tells you to live. Stay in his will. Stay in his purpose. Stay in alignment with him. Whatever that is he's asking you to do, you do it. I don't care if it's cutting off someone you have known for your whole life. It's time to cut it off. I love a pastor one time we were reading Hebrews, he was reading Hebrews 12 and 1, and he says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily snares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's sat down now at the right hand of the throne of God. You are the joy. But what I liked about it, he's like, you know, what's a weight? Well, let me explain what he said, and I thought that was analogous. He said, we have sin in our lives, and when once we get rid of those sins, we still have to deal with some stains. It has stained the way we think, the way we act, the way we react, the way we behave. That sin has stained it. Now, you're going to get rid of the sin, but you're going to have to deal with that mindset, that stronghold that it set up in your life. And that's what God is taking us through right now. He is preparing you for what he's called you to do, but this is a time of releasing the weight in your life. We need a little stain cleaner right now. We need a little stain cleaner right now, don't we? So God is exposing the stains right now. He says, this is what you're dealing with. Because this happened to you, I understand that. The sin is forgiven. But we've got to deal with this mindset, this stain that's still there. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible always says in 2 Corinthians, you have the mind of Christ. You can do it. Holy Spirit dwells within you, and he brings so many things for you to overcome. He gives you the power to do it. You know, Romans 12 and 1 through 2 says, you know, we're supposed to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. Don't be conformed to the world, it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's that stain that sin brought. They call it trauma now. And I'm not saying it's not, but it has lasting effect on your life. Lasting effect on your life. Isn't it beautiful that we have a God that has given us everything we need to overcome? Our ministry, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So this is a daily thing. We are being reconciled. We are being washed by the word of God. That's scriptural. 2 Corinthians 3 and 16 tells us how this happens. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, there's a position change there, right? Okay. The veil is taken away. He's talking about the old covenant and new covenant. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. You don't have to operate. You don't have to be stained no more about what was back here if you allow him to free you. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more and more like him. We are changed into his glorious image. Do you see that process there? You're going to start here, but as you are exposed to the word a little more and you accept it and walk in it, you're being changed. You're being changed. The same person you are today won't be the same person you are probably at the end of this year. If you continue in this process, we call it sanctification. Being transformed into the same image, the King James says, from glory to glory. Do you hear defeat in that at all? No, I don't. From glory to glory, more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. And then you go on to 2 Corinthians 4, and it has this beautiful thing. It says, therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. I love the King James Version. It says, therefore, since we have this ministry, you got work to do, ministry. We have this new covenant, and it says, as we have received mercy. This is what the enemy doesn't want you to know. You have mercy. So when you're going forth and you see a stain, the Holy Spirit has showed you in the Word of God, there's a stain there that we need to deal with. You go ahead. Your ministry is to let him wash it with the Word. And you walk in that authority and power that you were given. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her. Sanctify and cleanse. There's a two-step process there. Sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spots or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So when you have a stain on a piece of clothing, you're going to do two things. You're usually going to spot treat it, and then you're going to wash it, right? I usually have to do both because, you know, we always have white on, and it's always something Italian or something red or orange. And so I have to pre-treat it and then wash it. So Holy Spirit is trying to lead you into this. So I don't want you to be discouraged, because this is where the enemy is at right now. He's trying to tell you, you're not good enough. You remember what you did yesterday? Did you hear what you said this morning? God says, I'm going to meet you where you are. But you got to allow me to change you from glory to glory. Let the washing of the word come forth, the Holy Spirit. Jesus already put the blood out there for us. And it does bring us into right relationship. But let me tell you, you got some stains from the sin we're working on right now. And God says, it's no surprise to me. It's no surprise. It's okay. I've got it covered. I got Holy Spirit in you. I got the word of God that you can go to. And my presence. My presence. Isaiah 61, I don't have time to go over it. If you've listened to my podcast, you've heard me talk about it. But he talks about a progression. He talks about ashes, mourning, and despair. But he says, I'm going to give you a crown of beauty. He says, you got to start thinking that when you're suffering for me, my cause, for the good of the kingdom, I'm going to give you, that's beautiful to me. Christ suffered for you. He said, wear it like a crown. That's why I don't have any problem sitting up here telling you I am not perfect. Pastor does the same thing. I praise God because I've been in churches that they thought they were all that, and they aren't. I found out. I am flawed just like you are. But I'm just crazy enough to say God's going to give me beauty for those ashes, and I'm going to wear it and be a testimony to whatever that was that I overcome. And then he says, I'm going to give you the joy of oil for mourning. Oh, my gosh. When you see how you're messed up, you start mourning. Oh, God, did you see what I did? Lord, help me, Jesus. He comes up and he says, but I love you. I'm not going to leave you here because I'm holy and I love you. We're going to walk through this. We're going to get through this. You're going to be victorious because you already are. Start spreading that all around. You know, the Holy Spirit lives within you. He has joy that's already there for you. And the last thing was the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You have got to get the presence of God in this situation. You remember Jehoshaphat, he sent the singers out first to the battle. And when they started praising God, the enemy was destroyed. And that's the same thing with heaviness. Because if you don't deal with it, heaviness will come. And they ain't far from death after that, let me tell you, from one that knows. Put on that garment. I love that word. You look it up, it's the vestment. It's the thing that the priest and the religious leaders used and wore at special times. It showed that they were set apart. They were set apart. And you, my friend, are set apart. Put on that set apart from heaviness, set apart from mourning, set apart from depression, set apart from the lies of the enemy. You are a royal priesthood. Royal priesthood. Don't let the enemy tell you where you're at is where you're going to stay. You lean into what God has given you. Get in his presence. Stay in his word. Don't let your mind focus on the issue. If you need forgiveness for it, get it. Go to the throne room of grace and obtain mercy when you need it. That's what it's for. That's where our Lord and Savior sits and intercedes for us. And then you get back up and you keep going forward with joy that you participated in whatever God has, and that the enemy is messed up because you are doing the right thing. Let me tell you, he's not coming to an empty house. He knows you have something that he doesn't want you to have. Like that pastor said, he may not can get your soul, but he's coming for your purpose. And put on praise. Put on praise. And I guarantee you, you, child of God, will change. Father, we thank you for the words that you have given us, that you have assured us today, Lord, that the path that we are on in your will is where you want us to be. And despite the obstacles, despite what we were and what we aren't, Lord, you are enough for all of it. Help us now, Lord, to cover anything in our lives that needs covering under the blood so the enemy doesn't have a door to walk in. He doesn't have a crack into our lives, Lord. He's no surprise to us, his tactics. Now that we've exposed it, Lord, let the army of God go forth with their swords drawn and their shield of faith up, fully geared in their armor, to defeat the enemy in their path. And we thank you because we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen.